You are listening to the Nordic Frontier, the final solution to your podcast problem.
And we are back once again in this boomer episode, the Nordic Frontier. It is the episode that might be forgotten. We don't know. It might turn into be golden. So with us, we have now Håkan Forwald, which is the chief of the Norwegian branch of the Nordic Resistance Movement. Welcome back on the show, Håkan.
Thank you very much. It was a bit hard to hear what you were saying, but maybe the reception is bad or something.
Yeah, we're having audio issues, we're having lag issues. It's a good time. It's a good time.
Yes.
But we hope for the best. We'll send some prayers to the weather gods for my 4G. We'll see if it turns out for the best. Yeah, I wanted to talk about Orkla Foods. That's been on my mind for a while, and this globalization that's going on. And it was one day when I was sitting down having, I don't know if it was caviar I was having or if I was having some pickled herring, or if I was having some ketchup, or if I was having some dressing, or if I was having some shampoo, or if I was just salting my food. But I noticed the brand...
Shampoo as breakfast?
No. Now, I was noticing the logo Orkla on everything all of a sudden. And these were really famous Swedish brands like Felix, Abba, and really random products like plasters and... shampoo and things like that. Things that are very tied to the nation. These companies are old. They have some prestige within our society. People are loyal customers to these brands. And then you have these globalist thugs like Orkla moving in and buying it up. So I heard that you had some intel on this company. So can you tell us a little bit about Orkla Foods?
Well, I don't really have any intel. It's just that I have been in the, industry for a while. As I was a manager for a larger grocery store in Norway, or actually two. So I know a bit how they work. And I also have experience from when I lived in Drammen, a city 1 hour outside of Oslo. Or the local society experienced the same thing, but then it was with multinational globalist brewery company called the Carlsberg Group, I believe it was. And they were trying to do the same thing with this local brewery that was I believe, the only Norwegian brand that was left. All else was bought up by foreign companies. And it was actually after this that I started to, paying attention and noticing these things. But regarding Orkla, and they're in no way unique in how they... In how they do their business. It's quite common for these multinational companies to follow and push for the globalist agenda. And, of course, all about the money. And they, they act very parasitic, and they vacuum each country for brands and companies that they can buy up. And then they, after they have bought up a company, and if a company refuses, and it's important for them to buy up this company, then they have different methods for difficult for this. Things could be that they dump the prices if they have a competing product, if they have a ketchup brand on the market, and they want to buy another ketchup brand, a competitor, then they would dump the price on their product. And of course, they can keep the price. They can sell their product or their ketchup with loss in this country for, hundreds of years. it wouldn't affect their economy at all,
No.
Which a smaller company, of course, cannot do. So that's one way of making it difficult. They also, like with this brewery in Drammen, they went into all the local pubs and restaurants, and they offered a better deal, a deal that this local brewery never could offer for the local pubs and bars and restaurants. And they said that, okay, if you sign a deal exclusively with us, then you would also, we can fix so that we fix up the entire pub. We make, make it better and the furniture and so forth. And a few pubs in Drammen actually went for this, but some, customers started to revolt and boycotted. So many of these pubs and bars had to go back to the other beer and brewery. But it's very cynical, and it's very bad for the nation, of course, because after they have bought up a company, they it's not only that they look, of course, over the entire business and see that where can we make more money, how can we make this more lucrative for us, and many times that can be like in Gothenburg, where you shut down the entire factory and move it to another nation where it's very cheap to produce the same, or at least in exclamation point, same product. But it can also be smaller things that many customers would not notice. And that would be to look over the recipes for the products. And if there is a product that's supposed to be refrigerated, then you can see, okay, but if we introduce this additive, then we can store it in room temperature. And then we can pile tons of, products on top of each other. So hopefully people will buy more of it. And we have to throw less away. And of course, this additive makes it less healthy and more poisonous for the body of the consumers. Well, of course, it can also be to just extend the expiration date, which also means adding something that makes it less healthy. And when they do this, they often put on the product just new and better taste because they have changed the recipe. But of course, it has little to do with the taste. It's more to do with that they have thrown in some poison in it.
Yeah, and usually you would just have to make it cheaper. And like you say, you would pile it everywhere in the store, like a big display. That would be enough to make people buy it. And because they're a big company, they can just afford to splash that to establish the brand, and then they will just take over automatically. Because very few people, they read the ingredients, and they will add some extra MSGs and some extra sugar in there to make sure it tastes a little bit more addictive than the other one. And then you have them hooked, and they'll come back for more.
Yeah, so it's a very cynical business, and this is nothing that is, of course, unique to food. It's also the same when you look at electronic devices and such. You see the same type of way of conducting business. So, and of course, moving in food industry out of the country is bad for the country. Yeah,
it's really bad. So what happened was that we haven't ran this story yet. It's in Kungälv, where Fredrik Weideland is running for office. They were discussing it on Radio Kungälv the other day that Orkla had then moved in and bought an ancient Swedish brand called Göteborgs Kex, which is a biscuit company that has been a major industry in the local area for a long time. And because it's cheaper, they're now going to move their business over to Latvia. And 350 people of Kungälv is going to be unemployed. And this is a lot of people that will have to look for other work, and a lot of people that won't find it in the local area, because it's very unlikely that they would just have those kinds of jobs laying around. So people have to move to other places, bigger cities maybe, more centralized. And you know, Orkla is not crying any tears. And it's very emotional for the community of Kungälv because of this brand and because of people losing their jobs that they have been working at for most of their life, some of them. So, yeah, they buy it up and they move it abroad, which you say also is moving the food supply. And now maybe biscuits isn't the thing they were going to rely on when the doomsday comes. But it's still, you know, production of something to eat. And it's a big industry that is good to have around for the nation's sake. And that's something that we would take into consideration when running our industries, is we always think about what's best for the people. Is it best for the people to move Göteborgs Kex to Latvia? Is it the best for the Nords to do that? I don't think so. It's the best for the stockholders of Orkla Foods that they do that. And I think that's a major thing that we're going to move away from. That the interest of the stockholders always going to be basically the rule of law when it comes to business. That's what's something that we would try to break down. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Did you other guys have any comments on this Orkla business?
Yeah. Like, once we take power, we're going to nationalize it, and then we're going to use the money to do the exact same thing Orkla has done, but to all the companies in Israel. Easy?
Yeah. Good take. Yeah, we'll nationalize the biscuits, and then we can have a national fika for everyone. Everyone can get their biscuit and coffee. That'd be very nice stuff. Do you have any thoughts, Johan, on Orkla?
Yeah, actually, when I read the article on Nullfund, a few days ago, that was the first time I heard about the company. And then I started checking my stuff in the fridge, and I saw Orkla everywhere. I hadn't noticed it. It's just happened. I don't know if it was recently, or maybe I haven't checked my purchased stuff carefully enough.
They have to have like a massive expansion as of late, because I had never really heard about them, but I checked, like, I think there was only one Finnish brand they own. It was Panda the Candy. But when I went to look at their website, so they have a lot of brands that I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure used to be owned by Procter & Gamble and some by PepsiCo, like Tropicana Juice. So yeah. It seems like they're, like, massively and extremely quickly, you know, becoming big.
Who's behind the company? Have you guys researched the company?
It's some Norwegian capitalists that are in no way nice, sympathetic people. But the majority of the stockholders are American Jewish banks.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that ties me to another story that we brought up some months ago. It was about the Findus Frozen Foods was being shut down in Bjuv. And then you had 650 people that became unemployed when it was like a Goldman Sachs-based food company that was like 3 years old, something that was just created out of the blue with a lot of money that's just going around buying up food products and moving them to the most profitable locations. So most of this was going to, I believe, Italy and Germany then for production of these frozen dinners. I believe Findus is mostly into frozen foods anyway. So, yeah, it's going on all around Sweden, this stuff. And, yeah, of course, the world. But soon everything, all these businesses will be, I don't know, in Eastern Europe, all the industries. Yeah, yeah.
And, it's like the garment industry, like all over again. It's the same. Like we used to make a lot of fabrics and textiles, and then it was moved to other parts of the world, and gradually it's now like a few places in Asia where basically all the textiles in the world are made, and it's becoming the same thing with food. They don't care about, the environment and stuff. They will fish outside the coast of Norway, put them on ships, ships them to Thailand for packaging, and then ship it back to us for sale. And that actually makes them a profit, which doesn't matter how insane it sounds, but, it makes them a bigger profit, so they're going to keep doing that.
Yeah. And that kind of business, that kind of business isn't really criticized in the same way as, us driving cars or flying airplanes to our vacation or anything. Like putting on the individual and the middle class, we're supposed to pay for climate change and the world deteriorating. Whereas business is just swallowing the world whole and just looking at profit, just looking at numbers. Continue.
I was going to say it's like a double-edged sword because we're lowering the disposable income that the average, family or work family has. So that means that they're forced to buy cheaper and cheaper food in order to just, survive, and which means that the food producers get an even better argument why they should move the production offshore. So we're basically clamping down on the middle class, especially the middle class from both sides, and the middle class is shrinking. And that usually, in many ways is actually a positive thing, because if you look at the when revolutions tend to take place, it's when the middle class is almost diminished. And so from our perspective, it's a pretty good thing, even though it might be take a while for the effects to come through.
Mm. Yeah, it is. And it's increased polarization. So you will have more people being disgruntled. They will be backed up against the wall. And that's also a take people have been saying, that when the Swede that is so altruistic and nice and soft, when he is being pushed up into a corner, he has nowhere to go but to fight. Whereas other people will fight sooner. The Swede really needs to be having no options. And I think more of this globalization will push the right kind of Swedes anyway, and the right kinds of Nords into taking action. And when it comes to taking action, there's only one way to go, and that's the final solution. So,
but of course, it is really important for us to inform the people about what is happening also, because it's been a while now, but before, when I had these discussions with other people that were nationalistic or sympathetic towards nationalism, national socialism, you could often notice that, they would argument that don't buy Heinz ketchup because that is not Norwegian, or but buy Felix or something else. But then of course they don't know that same companies it's owned by Jewish banks.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make it much better. No. But that is of course 100% intentional by these companies, because buying these and owning these companies, they tear up and shut down. When they close the factories, they shut down and take away a bit of our history, a bit of our culture, and our traditions. So, yeah, it's negative in many ways.
Yeah, it basically creates ghost towns sometimes when they take that kind of stuff away, because there's no reason to hang around when there's no productivity. There's nothing to work on. And I remember when Kraft Foods bought up Cadbury's, which is an old English chocolate brand. And that was in 2010, I believe. That was a major tragedy, like a big news story. And, you know, English people were basically crying because there's so much history behind that brand. It has gone through a lot and it's always been English. And when American banks just come in, American with an echo, banks come in and buy your chocolate, you know. And every time you're going to buy your Cadbury's now, you're paying them. You're paying them to live better, to have better results on the market, you know. That's all they care about. And now if you're going to enjoy your classic chocolate, you'll have to support them. And that's the same with Göteborgs Kex. People are loving this brand, you know, they have grown up with this brand. And now if they buy the brand, they're paying the people that killed your community. So now we'll have to boycott them. And that is something that we're working on now, a big campaign to boycott at least Göteborgs Kex. But we encourage people to look into Orkla and what brands they have bought. And it is basically the entire store of ICA. So it's going to be hard to circumvent.
But that's the thing is, I think we need to take this boycotting thing to a much more like pragmatic level. And instead of, you know, trying to, because no one has the time, or like no one has really the time to walk in a store and check for all the, you know, which is Nestle, which is Unilever, which is Orkla, and blah blah blah. Instead, people should start focusing on making their own food. You know, like. Mayonnaise is, for example, you don't need to buy mayonnaise in the store. It's super easy to do. All you need to do, you can buy ingredients made domestically and make it yourself. The same goes for, you know, to stop buying pre-made food. Don't buy frozen food. Make your own dinner. It doesn't take that much longer. And then you get much more control, because it's much easier to find locally produced meat than is to buy, even find, you know, some of these ready-made stuff that are even made in the same country. And so people need to, you know, brush up on their cooking skills and start making their own food. And that's going to hit these companies much harder, because then no one is buying them.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well said. The people should really look into making their own stuff and looking for local solutions. It's about that time now that we have to create them ourselves, because no one's going to help us. They're just going to continue buying it up. So, yeah, closing up this Orkla business, I was going to move straight into the Resistance News.